It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy, it's 1904. You never know. I feel like I should have a pool for how many minutes after 1900 UTC I'll actually connect. Fun fact, I had to excuse myself from an online meeting to come over here, and the big headache is that people outside of me and outside of the system administration space have decided that they want to save and share their passwords using an encrypted file, but not just an encrypted file. They want to put everything in one password. Oh boy. So anyway, my GPG encrypted spreadsheet was summarily shot down as not user friendly. So now, 50 people all have different copies of the current password database, and none of them are up to date, and all of them are encrypted differently. But whatever, you know what? It's not my problem. I will just operate as best I can. So anyway, sorry. I'm also just pretty depressed. I don't know. Maybe it's all the sad news. No, not really. It's just state affairs. But we're gonna go ahead and start doing stuff. A big shout out to everyone in Calm. Thank you for being here. Exceptionally happy to see X1 back, Northern Lights, F Fog, SMJ, Robert588. Hello, hello. Welcome, one and all. Jazzmaz, always listening. Thank you for being here. And, of course, Tobe, the chairman of, or at least the co-chair of, the Dubious Skulls Committee, which happens at 1930 UTC. All the time, on time, not like this show. We just kind of get there when we can. All right, let's go ahead and get started the way we almost always start, and that's with
world news.
That's right, world news. And this is sad news to me, so let's get going. Dozens killed, many more missing in northern Afghanistan flash floods. At least 40 people have been killed, with 150 more missing in northern Afghanistan after flash floods ravaged an area northeast of the capital of Kabul. A rescue operation was underway to find the missing people after torrential rains overwhelmed Kamdesh district in Nuristan province, about 200 kilometers northeast of Kabul. About 40 people were killed last night, Sadila Nuristani, head of the provincial council, told AFP. He said 150 people were missing and nearly 80 houses had been destroyed after floods swept through the area. Syed Mohammand, a spokesman for Nuristan's governor, gave a slightly higher death toll, saying more than 60 people had been killed. Torrential downpours and flash floods kill scores of people annually in Afghanistan. So, many poorly built homes, mostly in rural areas, are at risk of collapse during the rains in the impoverished country. Fun fact, I live in Austin. Hello, welcome, Imstoni. So, I live in Austin, and I've been slowly trudging through a book that's pretty sad. It's about the old freedmen communities that existed around Austin. And one of the things that happened that kind of decided who was rich and who was poor was in the poorer spots that were prone to flooding, people built up houses. And there was a neighborhood on the north side of town that's rather affluent now. And there was a big flood. And all the people on on one side of the river basically got washed away, and those on the other side stayed put. And those people whose houses were washed away, they had to go on being servants and house workers and just living a very poor, meager existence. And those on the other side that survived, well, their houses are still standing today, and their families are very wealthy. Who knows? Maybe these people who survived the floods in Afghanistan will become wealthy people of tomorrow. Don't worry, though. This guy in Palestine won't be. Israeli soldiers fired tear gas and rubber-coated bullets and stun grenades at Palestinians attending the funeral of a Palestinian boy killed the day before in the occupied West Bank. Mohammed Al-Alami, age 12, died on Wednesday after being shot by Israeli soldiers while traveling in a car with his father in the occupied West Bank town of Beit Umar, northwest of Hebron. On Thursday, a procession followed the boy's body, draped in the flag of Fatah, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's party, through the streets of Beit Umar, where he was buried. Israeli troops shot and killed a 20-year-old Palestinian man, Palestinian health officials said. The Palestinian Health Ministry said the man, identified as Shawkat Awad, was shot in the head and abdomen during the confrontations in Beit Umar. Later, hundreds of Palestinians threw stones at Israeli soldiers who responded by firing tear gas. Videos shared on social media showed the town streets trashed with debris and stones following the confrontations between Palestinian and Israeli forces. That's happening. It's painful to talk about, but yeah. Just your everyday extinction of an entire class or race of people by another that's in control. We won't call it it's just an eradication of a people. It's really terrible. And what are we going to do about it? I don't know. The United States isn't going to do anything about it. It just pays for it. Ugh. Anyway, enough of that. That'll make you more sad. Let's talk about other colonial atrocities in the world. Or maybe not atrocities. Equatorial Guinea. Six French soldiers have been held at Bata Airport. Six French soldiers were held at the airport of Bata on Thursday, the economic capital of Equatorial Guinea, after landing their helicopter the day before to refuel, the French army and the state radio of the small Central African country said. They landed on Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. because they'd run out of fuel. At that moment began a sequence of administrative hassles, French military spokesman Colonel Pascal Iani told AFP, adding that they were still waiting for permission to take off again. "We are negotiating with the local authorities," he continued. "We're facing an incident like we've never seen before. We're facing an incident like we've seen before. They are holding the helicopter and crew," he also said. Thursday evening, TVGE, that's Tango Victor Golf X-ray, the Equatorial Guinean state radio, claimed that the helicopter had landed without authorization. The French soldiers were then heard at the central police station, Bata. The national authorities do not exclude this military incident is an operation of espionage and provocation of Paris. "There is no case of espionage," said Yanni. "We have all the necessary authorization," said a French military official, on condition of anonymity. "We stop regularly in Bata, but we also regularly have coordination problems with the Bata airport. The control tower does not give permission to land because of overzealousness," he added. The helicopter blocked in Bata is of the Finnick type, unarmed. It was carrying out a logistical link between Douala, the economic capital of Cameroon, and Libreville, the capital of Gabon, which houses the military base of the French elements in Gabon, located south of Equatorial Guinea. Anyway, I'm always happy to report any time any colonial power gets told what for. Alright, well, what else is happening? Well, more death. A public inquiry into the assassination of Maltese investigative journalist Daphne Caruana Galizia has found that the state was responsible for her death. The report, quoted by Maltese media, said the state had failed to recognize risk to the reporter's life and take reasonable steps to avoid them. Caruana Galizia died in a car bomb attack near her home in October 2017. An investigation led to PM Joseph Muscat's resignation in 2019 after his close associates were implicated. However, he has denied corruption allegations. Called a one-woman WikiLeaks, Caruana Galizia uncovered networks of corruption in the country and abroad. Aged 53 when she died, she spent 30 years as a journalist, relentlessly accused Maltese politicians and other officials of corruption. She is a harsh critic of the government, and in 2017, she effectively triggered an early election by publishing allegations linking Mr. Muscat to the Panama Papers scandal, which exposed the tax havens used by the rich. This is in Malta. The Maltese investigative journalist. So Malta has said they're responsible for this. And I'm probably saying her name wrong, but it's Caruana, and the surname is Galizia. So I think that's Corona Galizia. Yeah, her son Paul hid out at what he called the country's mafia state. His mother had been killed because she stood between the rule of law and those who sought to violate it, he said. So, yeah, it was very big news when this happened, but Maltus finally said, you know what, we're responsible for this. All right. Well, let's talk about one more death, and then we'll play a song. Taliban admits to killing Afghan comic. What's kind of funny here, and what I wanted to point out, was that used to, states would just deny that they killed people, or that they had a hand in the death of people. But now, it's kind of like, yeah, we're tired of this being an open secret. Yes, we're killing XYZ people. The United States seems to be the holdout, where it's jailing, whenever these revelations happen, it jails the people that tell the world that, you know, they're murdering civilians, but then they just keep on killing them. It's like nothing happens. Taliban admits to killing Afghan comic to try alleged killers. The Taliban armed group has taken responsibility for the killing of a comic this week in Afghanistan's southern province of Kandahar, raising the specter of revenge killings as the U.S.-led foreign forces are about to complete their pullout from the war-torn country. A video of two men slapping and abusing Nizar Mohammed, better known as Kasha Swan, spread widely on social media. He was later killed, shot multiple times. Taliban spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid acknowledged that the two men were Taliban. The men have been arrested and will be tried, Mujahid said. He alleged that the comic from the southern part of Kandahar province was also a member of the Afghan National Police and had been implicated in the torture and killing of Taliban. So, this is happening there. Mujahid said that the Taliban should have arrested the comic and brought him before a Taliban court instead of just killing him. He wasn't a TV personality, but would post his routines on TikTok, where he was known for crude jokes, funny songs, poking fun at himself, and often making fun of topics thrown at him from fans. The brutality of the killing hiding fears of revenge attacks also undermined the Taliban's assurances that no harm would come to people who worked for the government with the U.S. military or U.S. organizations. So, there you have it. The government's taking responsibility, but also just saying, you know, hey, we're going to take care of business, if you know what I mean. All right, we're going to play a song. This is from The Faint. It's called Worked Up So Sexual.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Away. smaller tits and younger limbs can cause a fit of rivalry. But it is a job, it pays a lot. Is it disservicing someone? And is it good to get these men worked up so
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
There you go, that's right. You are listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, and we are rocking and rolling our way through. It's another chill news day. Not a whole lot of mass death, so that's positive. Let's go ahead and keep on trying to keep it positive. Let's see. Let's jump over here. We got a bunch of news. So I'm going to run through some of these headlines a little quickly, and then we'll slow down just in time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is happening in just at about 10 minutes from now. Yeah, 10 minutes. That sounds pretty good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and scoot our timer up. Boop. There we go. All right. Well, see ya, Handy C. Let's go ahead here and get going. First up, Hush Puppy. Nigerian influencer pleads guilty to money laundering. Nigerian influencer Rahman Abbas, also known as Hush Puppy, has pleaded guilty to money laundering in a U.S. court. He's 37 years old and is known for posting photos of his lavish lifestyle on Instagram. Court documents filed in California said Hush Puppy's crime cost victims almost $24 million. In one scheme, he attempted to steal more than $1.1 million from someone who wanted to fund a new children's school in Qatar. Court records unsealed this week show he pleaded guilty to this charge on 20th of April. The document states between 18th of January 2019 and June 9th of 2020, Hush Puppy and others targeted multiple victims and laundered the illicit funds in banks all over the world. They add that he could face up to 20 years in prison and will need to pay full restitution to the victims. He was arrested in Dubai, where he lived, in June of 2020. In a statement, acting U.S. Attorney Tracy Wilkinson said Hush Puppy and others faked the financing of the school by playing the roles of bank officials and creating a bogus website. They also bribed foreign officials to keep the elaborate pretense going after the victim was tipped off. Hush Puppy, who she said played a significant role in the scam, funded his luxurious lifestyle by laundering illicit proceeds generated by con artists. So, surprise, surprise, the person on Instagram holding tons and tons of money with no discernible reason why was laundering money. Well, I want to be sure and let you know it's not all doom and gloom. The world is ending, don't worry. New Zealand has been rated the best place to survive global societal collapse. New Zealand, Iceland, the UK, Tasmania, and Ireland are the best places suited to survive a global collapse of society, according to a study. The researchers said human civilization was in a perilous state due to the highly interconnected and energy-intensive society that had developed and the environmental damage this had caused. A collapse could arise from shocks such as severe financial crisis, the impact of the climate crisis, destruction of nature, an even worse pandemic than COVID-19, or a combination of these. To assess which nations would be most resilient to such a collapse, countries were ranked according to their ability to grow food for their population, protect their borders from unwanted mass migration, and maintain an electrical grid and some manufacturing ability. Islands in the temperate regions, and mostly with low population densities, came out on top. The researchers said their study highlighted the factors that nations must improve to increase resilience. Said that a globalized society that prized economic efficiency damaged resilience, and that spare capacity needed to exist in food and other vital sectors. That's what they're saying. But I found that headline to be too on brand to not bring it up. Tunisia is falling further into turmoil. The president has fired more officials. He sacked the prime minister, froze parliament, and let's see. He ordered the dismissal. Oh, it just says several top officials. He dismissed the CEO of National Television Channel. He lifted the parliamentary immunity of lawmakers and assumed judicial powers. So he's continuing to turn into the, you know, become the dictator of the country. Key civil society groups warned in a joint statement against any illegitimate extension of Syed's 30-day suspension of parliament and demanded a timeline for political action. Sam Kimball, a journalist in Tunis, told Al Jazeera Syed claims that close to $5 billion have been looted from the country by various means. So this is very worrying. Tunisia was kind of like the winner out of the Arab Spring, and the president has continued amassing power since Sunday. Very scary. It appears he's operating fairly bloodlessly, but he's taking his time kind of going through this. Meanwhile, Myanmar still is under military rule after that coup. They're still killing people every day, but it's not really news anymore because it happens all the time. Let's talk about China real quick and other countries oppressing people. Outspoken billionaire Sun Daewoo jailed for 18 years in China. A prominent Chinese billionaire has been sentenced to 18 years in prison. He's runs one of the country's largest private agricultural businesses in the northern province of Hebei. I'm not sure how to say it. H-E-B-E-I. Sun, 67, has in the past spoken out about human rights and politically sensitive topics. He was found guilty of picking quarrels and provoking trouble, a charge often used against activists. Other charges against him include illegally occupying farmland, assembling a crowd to attack state agencies, and obstructing government workers from performing their duties. He is also fined 3.11 million yuan, or $478,000. Sun's company is among China's biggest, with business ranging from meat processing and pet food to schools and hospitals. So, very, very serious business here. He was also sentenced to prison in 2003 for illegal fundraising, but the case was overturned after an outpouring of support from activists and the public. Sun reportedly denied many of the accusations against him in a pretrial hearing, describing him as an outstanding Communist Party member. China's been cracking down on businesses and entrepreneurs in the country. Major tech companies, including Alibaba, Didi, and Tencent, are being investigated for a range of regulatory issues. So, yeah, it's one of those things where, it's almost like the government's trying to maintain control or something. Let's talk about, Burundi is saying it's ready to take COVAX vaccines. Burundi, one of the last countries in the world to start inoculating its population against COVID-19, said it has agreed to take COVAX vaccines, but with a condition. The change of heart came a day after the IMF agreed in principle to a $78 million aid package to help Burundi deal with the fallout of the pandemic. Health Minister Tadi Nidikumana announced Wednesday that Burundi would accept COVAX vaccines offered by the World Bank, but would refuse to sign a waiver he said was demanded by the pharmaceutical companies. Burundi, along with Eritrea and North Korea, are the only countries yet to start COVID-19 immunization campaigns after Tanzania began rolling out vaccinations on Wednesday. So, until now, the government had refused to be part of the initiative, saying it didn't want vaccines that were still at the experimental stage. So, good luck to the people of Burundi. I hope they get set up. Hi, Guafo. Goodbye. Mum's the word. Let's talk about Mexico. You remember price of tortillas yesterday. Well, the news today is Mexico's president has asserted his country's right to send fuel to Cuba and said on Tuesday that U.S. sanctions on the island were inhumane after diesel cargo shipped by Mexico's state-run oil company Petróleos Mexicanos arrived in Cuba's Havana port. Mexico's left-leaning president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, has criticized the U.S. embargo against Cuba and pledged support for the communist-run island, which has been hit by a surge in coronavirus infections and an economic slump that triggered rare protests this month. So, way to go, Mexico. Get it. We don't have a whole lot of time left. We're down to the last 2 minutes. Usually the last minute's where the exit sounds play. So, I just want to mention a few other pieces of news that I think are interesting. The Python project has run kind of like a fundraiser kind of thing. Basically, they raised funds and they hired what they're calling a developer in residence. And the developer in residence, he's basically there to actually be someone paid to work on the backlog and bug triage, code review, and other elements of the free software development process that usually isn't that cool. You've got to pay somebody to do it. So it's really cool. I'm excited for Python Project for doing that. The U.S. is bracing for an avalanche of evictions as federal moratoriums end. This is going to be much worse than 2018. Be ready to step over dead and dying people in the streets if you live in a city. The city of, well, we don't have time. Climate change has become real. Several houseboat companies have had to cancel reservations. Maybe people start using Python 3. California movie theater had a shooting. A couple people died. Capitol Police were told to arrest visitors not wearing masks. And three teachers sued Monsanto and won $185 million. And a guy in New York who's a sommelier started burning down buildings.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC.
The Dubious Goals Committee! Thanks for listening! Nine, eight.
Seven.